presenting Dick Cole and his thrilling adventures at Far Military Academy.
We'll always be near to far. We'll praise her wherever we are. We'll cheer her each day with a hip hip hooray. It's a rule there's no school like far. We'll sing out our loyalty. We'll ring out with voices free. As we travel through life, we will follow our star. We'll always be near to far.
Listen, boys and girls, today we bring you another exciting episode in the adventures of Dick Cole at Far Military Academy. You've known Dick Cole in Blue Bolt magazine and in Foremost Comics for a long time, and now you meet him every week at this time over this same station on the air. In just a moment, you'll hear from Dick Cole himself. But first, here's a message you'll all want to hear. Here is Dick Cole.
Hello, boys and girls. Well, you know about today's story. There are lots of ways you can find to describe certain unpleasant things. But the best way to describe what those people up at Gray's Castle had on their minds is to use one simple word, murder. Terry Gray and I thought we were safely out of it. We thought no one had seen us creeping through the shrubbery.
Come on, Dick. There's the gate. Let's run for it. I guess there's nobody around.
Nobody around, eh? Put up your hands there, boys. That's right. Now, back into the castle. Unless you want this gun of mine to bark.
And now to get back to the beginning of this story. Simba and I were on our way back from the tennis courts at Far. And, well, you know Simba. He had something up his sleeve, as usual.
You took the set away from me, Dick. What, do you want to know something?
Even if I didn't want to, I guess I'm going to know it anyway.
Yeah. Well, before we get back to the dorm, I'm going to take your racket away from you.
Oh, you are, eh? By means of some fiendishly clever magic, I suppose, or through the power of that hypnotic eye of yours?
Mm-hmm. Well, something like that.
Simba, my lad, your talents are wasted on the humdrum life we live here at Far.
Oh, I do all right. Hey, Dick, look.
What? Oh, what? I can't see you. What's that? Oh, hey, my racket. Simba, I've got to hand it to you. You did it.
Oh, it's nothing. Very, very simple. First, I blind you with my little gadget. And then, while you're being surprised by it all, snitching your racket is like taking candy from a baby.
Yeah, so I see. Now, tell me, what's that gadget hanging on your belt there? Obviously, that's what you blinded me with.
Obviously. As you will notice, it is made up of prism reflectors.
So I see.
Now, the wearer of this gadget, that's me, must always stand directly to the north of his victim. That's you.
Yes, I guess it is.
The wearer stands about 3 feet away from the victim, who must be facing north.
North?
Mm-hmm.
That's right, I was facing north.
Yep. Now, at any time of the day, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., one of the prisms will reflect a glare into the victim's eyes.
You're telling me.
Because the makers of this gadget carefully calculated the correct sundial angles.
Mm, smart, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Simba, I'm going to show you a trick.
Oh, yeah? Well, it better be good.
Now, watch my right hand.
Yeah, I'm watching.
See how it resembles a bird floating about in the air, a seagull, perhaps, or a hawk?
Looks more like a flying turtle to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, watch carefully.
Yeah.
Now, down it comes, and while you're foolishly watching it, I take my other hand and switch that trick gadget of yours right from under your nose. Yes, sir.
Hey, Dick, come back with my gadget.
Yeah, try and get it, fella. Just try and get it.
Well, almost time to go to bed. It'll be lights out pretty soon.
Say, you're right. I wasn't watching the clock. I'd better pack now. I won't have much time in the morning.
No, and you better put your best clothes in that suitcase since you're going out in high society.
I'll have to admit, I'm kind of curious about that place Terry Gray's aunt lives in.
Sort of a castle or something, isn't it?
Yes, I've seen pictures of it. And Terry says that's all he's ever seen of it, too. He hardly knows his aunt.
You know, that's the funny thing about some rich people. They're usually not very chummy with their relatives.
Well, of course, Mrs. Gray isn't Terry's real aunt. She's the widow of his uncle.
Uh-huh. And so she's his only living relative?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Well, she's probably just as well-heeled as he is. I understand he's worth $5 or $6 million.
That could be.
Poor kid. That's a tough situation. But I've got to admit, it doesn't seem to have gone to his head.
No, Terry's a swell fella. Sometimes I feel sorry for him, though, his mother and father dead.
Yeah.
And no family, but a trust company that handles all that money for him.
Mm-hmm. Every silver lining's got a cloud.
Every... Well, anyway, that castle of his aunt's. I understand it's an exact imitation of some castle in Europe that used to be a robber baron's hangout. It's got towers and dungeons and a moat around it and a high iron-braced wall.
Wish I was going with you. I'd like to see it. Wish Terry was a friend of mine. Oh, we never seem to hit it off for some reason.
Well, that's funny. Say, Simba.
Yeah?
That gadget of yours, the prisms. I still got it.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Listen, just for the heck of it, let me take it along this weekend, will you?
Want to blind Terry's aunt so you can swipe her diamond necklace, do you?
Well, you know, maybe I could have some fun with it.
Okay, take it. But remember, I expect you to bring it back undamaged.
I will, my friend. I will. You're an impressive-looking place, Terry.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, driver, toot the horn so they know we're coming. Now maybe somebody open that wicked-looking gate, a knight in armor, or perhaps a yeoman with a crossbow.
Hey, look, Terry, it's opening.
Nobody's opening. It must be they have a push button up in the castle.
Yeah, it must be.
Say, Dick, I've got something to tell you.
Yeah?
My aunt, I've only seen her 4 or 5 times in my life. She's, well, she's kind of an odd type, so I didn't tell her that I was bringing you.
You didn't?
No, and I apologize to you for that. I should have told her, but I didn't know what she'd say.
Oh, I don't exactly like the
idea. I know. It puts you in a kind of spot. But here's the point, Dick.
Yeah?
Well, it's always seemed to me that there must be something creepy about this place and about her. So I'd appreciate it if you'd stick with me, even though she doesn't expect you.
Well...
It'd be a real favor, Dick.
Okay. Oh, look, the door of the castle's opening. Some guy's coming out.
One of the servants, probably. Here's a couple of bucks, driver. Come on, Dick, let's go.
Yeah, coming.
Master Gray?
Mr. Gray, please. Yeah, that's me.
This other lad, who is he?
His name is Mr. Cole. My aunt, Mrs. Gray, she's around, I suppose.
She's waiting for you in the blue drawing room. I don't believe she knew another young gentleman would accompany you.
No, well, she will soon. You'll take our bag?
Certainly, sir, naturally. This way.
Is that my nephew, Eric? Well, do bring him in. Bring him in. Terry, dear boy, how good to see you after all these years.
Very nice to see you, Aunt Sophie. This is my friend, Dick Cole.
What? Oh. How do you do?
How do you do?
I invited him to come along with me, Aunt Sophie. We fellas at the Academy don't often get a chance at a weekend like this. I knew Dick would enjoy it, and you wouldn't mind.
Yes, how nice. I welcome you, Mr. Cole.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Gray. That's very kind of you.
Eric, take the young gentleman up to the East Tower. And see that they're comfortable.
Yes, yes, ma'am. I'll see that they're very comfortable.
Well, boys, I'm glad you enjoyed your dinner. And now I'll say good night.
It sure was a wonderful dinner, Mrs. Gray.
Yeah, it was super.
Well, now you can find the way up to your room in the East Tower. Or do you want Charles to show you?
Charles?
The butler.
But I thought Eric
was... Eric. I call him the parlor maid.
You do, huh? He's the huskiest parlor maid I've ever seen.
Yes, isn't he? Quite a muscular type. Now, shall I ring for Charles?
No, thanks. I think we can find our way all right, Mrs. Gray.
Very well, then. Good night again.
Good night.
Good night, Aunt Sophie.
Now why this place gives me the creeps?
Yeah, I sure do. When you're in, well, I don't want to be rude.
Don't worry. Anything you say is all right. She's only my uncle's widow, you know. And I can still remember that my father and mother never exactly took to her.
She seems pleasant enough.
But somehow I get the feeling that she doesn't really mean it.
Yeah, me too. It's like she's got something not exactly cozy up her sleeve.
Could be. But you and I, maybe we're just imagining things.
Maybe so.
I just kind of wish I could be sure, that's all.
I tell you what, Terry. After we get our pajamas on, let's scout around a little and see if we can find out. By that time, they ought to have turned out most of the lights.
That's a good idea, Dick. A swell idea. Maybe we can solve the mystery of this creepy place.
Terry, you take those stairs and I'll take these, okay?
All right. Be seeing you, Dick. And watch it.
Yeah, I will, and you too.
Don't worry. So on, Dick. Good luck.
Yes, I know it's too bad for the other boys here.
I tell you, I haven't planned on that other boy coming.
I haven't planned, but he's here. He's here.
Voices. Sounds like Mrs. Gray's and one of the servants. It's a good thing it's dark in the hall here. I can get closer without being seen.
Yes, yes, Charles. I wish he hadn't brought the other boy with him. But in any case, it can't change our plans.
You mean... both of them?
Of course it's got to be. You and Derek will take the mountain climbing tomorrow, and we'll both have to fall off the cliff. By accident? Yes.
Well, in that case, it's double the price we agreed on.
Charles!
Now look, according to the will Terry's grandfather made, if Terry should die, his entire fortune goes to his nearest relative, and that is you.
But I haven't...
I know, you haven't any money now, but you will have... something like $5 million. Out of that, $100,000 for Eric and me each. Chicken feed.
You'll drive a hard bargain.
Hard bargain, eh? That's rich. With all the money you're going to have?
Well, it'll really be my money.
Not till we get rid of those two lads. And they're nice lads. I like them. Yes, my conscience is going to bother me terribly sending him to Kingdom Come.
Your conscience.
That's what I said. The only thing that could rest my conscience is $100,000. So say yes now or my price will still go up.
All right, Charles. I say yes. With the money safely in my hands and everything else has gone off.
Hey, here I am. Have you found out anything?
Yes, I found out everything. Come on back to our room and I'll tell you.
Gee, Dick, I never saw you look that way before. You're white and as if you were scared.
Come on, Terry, back to our room. We've got to make plans. And about the way I look, maybe I am just a little scared. You all dressed now, Terry?
Yeah. And the quicker we get out of this place now that I know Aunt Sophie's little plan, the better I'll like it.
Me too. Now let's rip those sheets off the bed.
Okay. It's a big drop out of this window, Dick. Looks like 50 or 60 feet. Think we can make it with these sheets?
Sure, sure, but we'll have to tear them in half.
Okay. You know, kid, I wasn't so dumb when I suspected I might need help on this little weekend.
Maybe yes and maybe no. All right, now let's tie these ends together. Just the sheet. The rope we're making, it's got to be long enough. It's got to be strong enough.
That's right, or Charles and Eric won't have to do that little job of theirs, and they'd be out $200,000.
Yeah. There. Uh-huh. Give me the other end. Yeah. That's it. Twist it and tie it.
Yes, sir.
There we are. It's a nice-looking rope to let ourselves down from the window with.
Saves us the trouble of walking out the front door.
We said it. Now we'll push that bed behind the dresser so it'll be firm enough to tie the rope to.
It's a good idea. Come on, let's push. But watch it.
Hey, Dick, listen. There's something weird. Somebody's coming.
Yeah, well, if that's true, our goose is cooked. But good.
In just a moment, we'll go back to our story. But first, here's a brief message for all you Dick Cole fans. Back to our story. Dick Cole and Terry Gray, preparing to escape from the castle by means of a rope they have fashioned out of bed sheets, suddenly hear footsteps outside their door.
Shh. Quiet. Maybe they'll pass on by.
A false alarm, I guess. Dick, let's tie up that rope and get out of here.
I'm tying it. Now, out the window it goes. There. Say, Terry, look. The end is only about 6 feet above the ground.
Yeah, good.
Okay, now you go first.
Oh, no.
Now, listen, you're the one they're really after, so hurry up.
All right, boss man. Okay. Wish me luck. Here goes. So long, kid. You join me as soon as I reach the ground.
Yeah, I will. And he made it. And the sheets still look tough enough to hold me. Well, Cole, here goes.
We made it, Dick. We made it. And the coast is clear. Come on, let's make for the gate.
Maybe we can slide under it.
Yeah. Dick, there's the gate ahead of us, and we're okay. Nobody's seen us. Nobody.
Nobody, eh? Put up your hands there, boys, unless you want this gun to start barking.
Eric!
Yes, it's me. Now march along, both of you. I'm sure Mrs. Gray won't like it having her guests try to sneak off like this. Here they are, Mrs. Gray, the two boys. I caught them trying to sneak out the gate.
Why, Eric, what... Boys, don't you like it here?
You tell her, Dick. Explain why we don't like it here.
Yeah, you can't get away with this, you know, Mrs. Gray. Everybody at Far Academy knows where we are, and the taxi driver who brought us up here.
What on earth are you talking about?
I'm talking about a certain conversation between you and Charles that I happened to overhear. Something about climbing a mountain and about Terry and me having an accidental fall. Something about $100,000 apiece for Eric and Charles and $5 million or so for you.
Good. What on earth do they teach you boys at Far Academy? Where do you get such fantastic ideas?
It won't work, Mrs. Gray. There'll be a big investigation. Major Farr will see to that. They'll find you out.
Eddie, why did you ever bring this strange boy up here to visit? Is he quite right in his mind?
He's the sanest guy I know. Listen, Aunt Sophie, you let us out of here. Let us go and I'll forget the whole thing. Dick and I'll promise never to say a word.
Oh, dear. I'd always thought Far Academy was such a good school. Instead of that, it's turned both of you boys into something next door to madmen.
I'm warning you, Mrs. Gray.
Take them both up to their room. Bar the window. You know how. And lock the door. It's quite evident they're not responsible for their actions. Something's terribly wrong.
Yeah, and that's no lie.
Go along with Eric, boys. He's such a mean man with a gun. And I do so hate the sound of a shot. It's hard on my nerves.
Dick?
Yeah, come on. We'll go for now.
That's right. Of course you'll go. It's only sensible. Good night, boys.
Good night, dear Aunt Sophie.
And pleasant dreams. I want you both to enjoy that mountain climb tomorrow.
Thank you.
Dick.
Look, it's morning at last. The sun is coming through the window.
Yeah, good old sun.
You know, I haven't slept a wink. Somehow it's not very conducive to sound sleeping to know this is your last night on Earth.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
I've been thinking and thinking, and I've finally come up with an idea.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's not a very good idea.
Let me be the judge of that.
Well, it looks to me as if the only thing we can do is ruin Aunt Sophie's plan.
No, you're getting somewhere. All right, give. How do we ruin her plan?
Well, we've got no chance to get away. Not a prayer. We may as well face that.
Mm-hmm.
So, instead of climbing the mountain with Eric and Charles, we make them shoot us here. Then they can't say it's an accident. They're counting on saying it was. That'll foil them, see?
Yes, I see.
Dick, I told
then
you
it wasn't a very good idea. Well, you're right. I don't like it. Not one little bit.
But, Dick...
Look, Terry, I want to stay alive, and so do you. Let's start with that.
Okay, start ahead.
So I say when our pals, Eric and Charles, start to take us up the mountain, let's just go along quietly like good boys.
To our death?
Maybe. And maybe not. There may be a chance for us to pull something before we get up there.
You think so?
Frankly, I don't know. But if we follow your plan, we throw away every chance we have to live right at the start.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas if we go along with them, maybe we can make something happen.
You got any ideas?
At least a dozen of them.
Say, Dick, that's swell.
I hope so. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you my ideas. And I'll number the ideas. And when I shout out a certain number, that means, okay, let's get going. We'll try out that idea. Do you understand?
No, I get it. If you yell six, for instance, we'll go right into the routine of plan number six.
That's right. And now let me start explaining, because we haven't got too much time.
I know.
A fine day for climbing this mountain, eh, Charles?
Ah, superb, superb.
You boys enjoying yourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We're having a simply wonderful time.
I suppose you're a bit tired. Ah, there's that path going off to the right. It goes back down the mountain, the other side.
Nice path.
Well, it's for amateur mountain climbers, I've always thought, not for real sportsmen.
Yeah, that's what I like about it.
Well, don't get any foolish ideas about sneaking off down that path. The gun I've got in my pocket, it's such a nasty kind of thing.
Yeah, I imagine.
Now, Dick, now, how about plan number five?
Don't hear him not yet, not now.
Secrets, boys? Come, tell us. What were you whispering about?
Oh, I don't think you'd be interested.
The young like to have their secrets, you know, Eric. We mustn't begrudge them that.
Why, Charles, of course not. What sort of a brute do you think I am?
In my opinion, you're a gorilla.
Oh, you're flattering, Terry. He's the lowest form that life comes in. An amoeba, I think they call it. He's like something you scrape off a rock.
Ah, we have an authority on science in our midst.
Yes, yes, indeed. I've always said a good education is an excellent thing.
So it is, Eric. Too bad. A time comes in a person's life when even the finest education is no help at all.
You mean, for instance, when a person faces death?
That's exactly what I mean, Eric. What a smart fellow you are.
Death.
An accident. A fall from the top of a mountain.
Sad.
Oh, no. Tragic.
But unpreventable.
Yes, it had to happen. Nothing could stop it.
All right. Pull. Up we go. This is the last lap of our journey.
Dick, do you suppose this is it? I could just cut the rope and then...
Yeah, I know. But that ravine below, it isn't quite deep enough. They couldn't be sure.
Then what?
The other side of the mountaintop, I think. A deeper ravine. It'll be coming soon.
And those plans of yours, none of them...
We haven't had a chance. There's just one plan that could still work. Number seven. Remember? Number seven?
Yeah, I remember now.
Come along there, boys. No loitering. Up the cliff with you. We wouldn't want you to fall.
Oh, heavens no, Charles. What a perfectly dreadful idea.
Well, here we are. At the top of the mountain.
Yeah, the very top.
Yes, the very, very top.
Isn't it a lovely view?
Yes, it's simply divine.
You know, I thought you'd feel that way about it. I rather fancied you were the sort of lad who appreciates the finer things in life.
Now, Charles, that's strange. It seemed to me young Master Terry, he was the one who really valued such things most.
Well, now...
Come to the other side of the mountaintop, Master Terry. I want to show you the view.
Yes, yes, and so do I.
I'd rather stay here.
Now, now. We'd like not to be rough with you.
Come along, kid, and make it quick.
Dick, you go along, Terry. I'm coming, too.
Well, naturally, we'd planned on that.
Of course. And now that we're all agreed, let's go.
You know, I have rather a strange feeling, Charles.
And so do I, Eric.
Yes. These two young lads, fine, upstanding fellows.
Splendid examples of American youth.
I sort of dislike what we're doing. Don't you?
Well, heartily. Most heartily.
Then suppose you tell us.
Yes, it's a good idea. Listen to me, lads. We bear no grudge against you. We like you both. We want you to know...
That you're going to call the whole thing off?
That we sincerely regret what we are about to do.
Yeah, then why do you do it?
Purely a business arrangement, Master Crow. Purely business. I feel sure you will understand that.
But I don't.
No? Well, I had hoped you would. And now, here we are. On the other side of the mountain. Isn't it a remarkable view?
Sublime. And that ravine... it must be almost a mile deep.
It's terrifying. All right now, Master Terry, come along with us. Come along.
No, I won't.
Please don't make this any more difficult for us, any more painful. Grab the other arm, Eric.
Yes. Now, come along.
Dick!
He can't help you. Just face the mute. Come on
now. Take it like a man.
Terry, number 7.
Yeah, get closer, yeah.
Hey, what's this? You're trying to interfere, Cole?
That's right. Look here, Eric.
I can't see. I'm blinded.
Hey, Charles.
Get my gun. Quick, Charles. Your gun. Don't let it.
Awfully sorry I had to shoot you, Charles, and shoot your hand. I hope it isn't too seriously damaged, but then you see I had no other choice.
My hand is bleeding. My arm.
Dick, you saved us just in time.
I guess that's right, Terry.
Please be good, lads. Don't shoot us. We were just obeying our orders, that's all.
Yeah, well, there's been too much of that in the world these days. Obeying a maniac's orders, no matter what they were.
Mrs. Gray, a maniac?
Mighty close to it, I figure.
Don't shoot us.
Don't worry, I won't. On one condition.
Anything you say.
I've got a paper and pencil with me. I want you two to write and sign a confession, the whole truth, all of it. I want to see all three of you behind the bars.
Yeah, me too.
Is it agreed?
Yes. Give us the paper and pencil.
I'm keeping this gun trained on you two. Terry, you take the paper and pencil out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Here they are.
Thank you. I'll tell all the truth.
You'd better.
Gee, Dick, I don't know how to thank you.
Oh, don't thank me. Thank Simba.
Simba?
That's right. I'm thankful he's nuts about gadgets. These prisms I blinded Eric with, they're Simba's.
Yeah. Well, Simba, he's a friend of mine for life.
Boys and girls, Dick Cole will be back with you again in just a moment. But first, here's a message you'll want to hear. Dick Cole fans, be sure to listen in again next week, same time, same station, for another thrilling half hour with Dick Cole at Far Military Academy. Yes, plan to meet Dick Cole every week on the air and enjoy his exciting radio adventures as you enjoy his life at Far in those two favorite magazines, Blue Bolt and Foremost Comics. And now, here's Dick again.
Hiya, folks. I just want to remind you to listen in again next week. Don't forget, it's a date.